In here, we pour whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it yet again today, Miss Jackie Tone. Thank you for coming.
Hi.
Don't introduce that yet. Cheers me real quick.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
And today...
Hey, that's nice.
For listeners, yeah, today we're drinking a little bit of Eagle Rare. This was brought to me as a gift. From a friend that came to see me do a show, and he said, I got to leave you something. I said, No. He said, I want to leave you a gift.
Funny because when people say they got to leave me a gift, I say, yeah, leave it. Is that all? You know?
Well, but you get, yeah, right. You get really mad if they don't give you something that you really wanted.
Yeah, crazy.
You're kind of a brat.
You came all the way here without a gift for me. That's insane, yeah.
That's it. You do that to them. They walk in.
It feels like it's not pointing in the...
Yeah, you just got to get it right to your... Uh-huh. Here, you can move the arm closer to you.
But I didn't want to do any facial coverage.
You're good. All right, so introduce this sheep that's sitting on your lap.
Well, you're not the only person with a guest today, okay? I come to podcasts with my own guest to interview.
Yeah, right. I know.
So I like to sort of derail the whole thing and then, you know.
He needs to sign an NDA, by the way.
He's so fucking stupid.
Why is he not saying anything?
I'm like, one day I swear to God I'll break his ankle.
Are you telling me the dog can't talk?
The mic is at his
mouth. Did you bring a dog that can't talk?
I'm embarrassed.
There he goes. Why did you name your dog Glenn?
Now that he left, I'm actually sad because...
He's going to chew right through the camera wire.
I don't give him human emotions often. I think it's absurd. But then I'm like, oh, did I make him mad by calling him stupid and saying I want to break his ankle?
But every day I call my dog something else.
Yeah, I just...
I go, get over here, you little fucking bitch.
I say it all the time. When I got here, he was showing me a picture of the dog and he was like, she's a little fucking bitch.
I go, get over here, you fucking bitch.
Look at me. I'm like putting my nails into my own because of how much I love Glenn.
You murdered Glenn once.
Well, listen, when you love a thing too much, sometimes you have to break its ankle.
You broke his ankle?
No, I just love him so much that sometimes I imagine not hurting... I don't really want it on public record, but I do hate love him where I have to grit my teeth and I feel aggressively toward him because of love.
Do you ever play too rough with him?
No, I'm a little bit of a pussy. So like I'm careful. Like I just the other day he was at the top of the stairs and he was looking down and he looked like he was seeing a ghost. He wouldn't come down the stairs. So I'm like, bitch, I'm going to carry you down the stairs. You can handle this. Then a couple days later, I was at some store and someone was playing with him and being all sweet with him. And he yelped so loud. Like when your dog yelps, like you step on their toe or foot or something and you like want to kill yourself.
When I step on her neck, she does that. I step right on her neck.
That last time you kicked her in the face. I did that. And then this guy was playing with him and he made a huge yelp and it was at his low back. And he was like, yeah, these long dogs have low back stuff. And I was like, you know, he hasn't been going down this. This is a stranger. I'm like, he hasn't been going down the stairs lately. And the guy was like, you need to carry. Unfortunately, you got to carry him.
You're getting dog advice from a complete stranger that you don't know at all?
Well, then I
don't do that.
But then
ever
I looked
again.
It up because with dachshund mixes, they're so long that it's so much fucking pressure on their backs when they have to go down.
That dog is so tiny.
He's so nice.
His back is smaller than my foot. My foot is longer than his back.
But that doesn't mean he can't have an issue just because of its size.
Who told you that?
A stranger. I don't know his name.
Okay, so get the fuck out of here. If a doctor said that, okay?
But then I looked it up on the internet. The internet was like, careful with dachshunds and their low back.
Another thing that doesn't mean anything. I have AIDS, according to the internet right
cancer,
now.
Cancer, both of
it's
us.
It's bullshit.
Dead.
It's total bullshit.
Dead.
Jews should not be allowed to look stuff up on the internet. Especially when it comes to health stuff. Then it's gone.
100%. Speaking of, I almost just choked on my mentholated holes. I did. I breathed in and the whole thing almost went right down the trap chute. I'm glad it didn't happen. I would have been very embarrassed.
But listen, I don't trust people anymore because people give me advice about my dog and it turns out it's fucking...
Yeah, she's never
dead. You know what someone said? Somebody goes, she had diarrhea. The dog had diarrhea. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to put these crunchy things on there because we usually do like sweet potato and rice and all that stuff. Oh, no. She needs these crunchy things to balance out the diet or whatever. Made it way... I mean... exponentially
pissing
worse.
Pissing out her butthole.
She would fart. She would fart, and it would, and you know how like slow mo videos on YouTube, this is what I compare it to, when they drop like a marble in like paint or something, and yeah, you see like, I mean, it was like, but it just kept spraying.
And what's crazy, it was in slow mo.
Yeah, I see in slow mo. Yeah, everything is in slow mo to me. But that's it. Just the visual of paint splattering out of these things on YouTube. It looked out of her butthole just.
I'm gonna throw up.
It was like a
puff
poof of air. Anyway, she's fine now. Cubster's fine now.
How I named him Glenn. He belonged.
Glenn, get in here.
Glennie.
Nah. Glenn, come here. He doesn't give a shit.
I named him. Dairy what is. Up, homie? Come on. Yeah, go work.
You named him Glenn. Oh,
no, my friends did. My friend adopted him first. Do you? No, I just feel like an asshole. My friends, I think you might know my friend. But then if
go
I say
ahead.
I know now.
Tom Cruise.
Do you know my friend Tom Cruise?
Yes, I know Tommy.
Dax.
Oh, Shepard?
Yes.
Sure.
I thought so.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, it's
and
less weird because you know
adopted.
Him. So Dax and Kristen adopted him.
Right.
And they were, I was over there and Dax was really allergic. And Dax named him Glenn. And they was like, meet our new dog, Glenn. And then I came over and he was like, we're so fucking allergic. He and the baby. And she was like itching her little baby eyes. And they were like, we don't know what to do.
Allergic to?
To Glenn. I mean, I guess certain dogs are
that's
really
right.
Allergy-ish.
Hypoallergenic. They're not hypoallergenic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know? Hyper, is there a test for that?
There's got to be, yeah.
Is but it hyper or hypo?
He's hypo. No, the term is hypoallergenic. He's not that.
Yeah, that's what my dog
is. Yeah.
Because my dog has hair, not fur.
Mm-hmm.
He has fur.
Must be.
But it sheds? Does he shed?
Yeah.
A lot. See, right, it's hair, not fur. I mean, fur, not hair. She has hair.
But
all
it doesn't
that hair
shed?
Doesn't come off. It's great.
Let me tell you something. It's fantastic.
Great until I pull it off.
Fabulous.
I go, get the fuck over here, and I pull it right out of
my head. One time I cut it off, wouldn't even make me sneeze. I don't know what the deal is. He's not, I guess he's not hypoallergenic, and they were super allergic, and they were so bummed because
the reason they
adopted him, that's right, they were going
to
put him in front of a truck. The reason they got him is because when they have two young girls, and he's so friendly and delicious, he just doesn't, like when babies are like playing with him too rough or whatever, he just is like,
loves it.
He doesn't even go the other way. He's like here for the face batting. He doesn't even care.
But some dogs, small dogs love kids.
Yeah,
they have this weird connective tissue to kids.
100%
Well, maybe
does.
I'm talking about you and you know it.
See, you know it.
Yeah, he knows.
You know it.
So they just named him Glenn because nothing?
Dex. And the dog before Glenn that they adopted, this sounds terrible, like they give all their dogs away. They don't. Kristen's a huge dog rescuer and a dog foster mom.
Well, then eventually you do
so
give them away if
right,
you are
so
fostering.
So she's trying to find them homes, but often she thinks she'll keep them, and then if it's not a fit. So she had a dog before Glenn that Dax named Pat Sajak.
Oh, that's good.
Pat Sajak.
Love Pat Sajak.
Full.
Yeah.
And
by the way, one of the best gigs
on
earth, Pat Sajak.
Well, not as good as Vanna's gig, but actually might be better than Vanna's gig.
Way better.
Because Vanna's got to be in hair and makeup, full beat, tight dress, keeping that body tight with heels.
Pat's schluffy under that suit.
Yeah, 100%.
He's a schluff.
He's
you don't know.
He's got to be a schluffy.
Also, I looked him up one time. He's from the East Coast. He comes here, films, something like 4 or 4 months out of the year. Then he flies back. So they just pack it all in. Then he flies back. He's one of these dudes. This is nuts. People should look this shit up. He has like a fucking hospital, a library, like a school named after him. He put tons of money back in his community because he's a fucking billionaire.
He's
a
billionaire.
He's got so much money. Do you think they make the same money? That's one thing I wonder.
Look, I am.
No, they might. They might.
I feel like I'm first in line for obviously equal pay for equal work. I don't know that they're doing equal work.
No, they're not at all.
Right. So then for me,
equal
then
pay
then
for equal work is a good. That's the sentiment that we all should be echoing.
100%.
When somebody says equal pay, I go, right, yeah, for the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%. You're not going to tell me that you're,
guest stars don't get paid the same as the guy that's on the thing.
A series regular, absolutely.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But that whole thing is such muddy, weird water, too, because there's other semantics about that in the industry that no one talks about. Like, someone's name for movie stars, someone's name draw is worth more monetarily box office than others. So that has to be
taken into account. Yeah, that is challenging. That when it's
nobody wants to talk about that, you're like, if it's like me and Matt Damon, and it is the first big movie role I ever get, and it's like me and Matt Damon, I'm in the whole fucking movie. I'm his brother or something.
You have a bigger part than him.
Yeah.
You're still not going to get
and
as much
And I wouldn't
money.
Deserve
and
it.
Nor should you.
Yeah, because who the fuck, no one's going to see me.
Right.
They're going to see sexy-ass Matt fucking Damon, and then they see me and
still
go,
sexy,
that goofy
too.
Guy is funny. That's funny guy. I like him.
But they'll be like, the goofy guy's body got dope recently.
And then they'll go, let's put him in something.
And then everyone will say no.
And then everyone will say no. Yeah. And then I'll do an indie. Mm-hmm. It'll bomb so bad, mm-hmm. they kick me right out of Hollywood.
That's right. But I still have the pod.
I got it. I got the pod. And now I'm living in Sundance. Things are bad.
Yeah. I actually moved to Sundance. Did you know? It's a city.
Okay. I don't want to talk about business stuff, right. But we're going to.
Right.
I have other stuff I want to talk to you about. But is Glenn sleeping? That's really fucking rude in the middle of my podcast. I'm not going to lie. You brought a dog just to sleep? Wow. Okay. Okay. You, let me say this, and I'm not placating. You were in a movie that made me so jealous that I wasn't a part of it. I didn't deserve to be a part of it because I had no business being in it.
Well, you did not deserve it. Maybe I had no room for it.
But I was so happy for my friends that were in it. And it was also jealousy, but also like not in an angry way. Like I watched it a few times because I thought it was so good. And of course, it was called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Sure, Bogus Journey as well.
Bogus Journey. Mm-hmm. No, you were in Stupid, a Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Yeah.
And it was such a good fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
So cool. Man. You got to play, tell people.
Gilda Radner. Gilda
fucking Radner.
And it...
What was that like for you mentally?
What's so crazy about this thing is that not only was it like easily... one of the greatest experiences in my life and something that I'd waited for so long and worked toward for so long that was so, excuse me, Glenn, gratifying. He's a real piece of shit. So gratifying, but also, and I'll get to that in a second, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Because then people went like, oh, that girl played Gilda Radner. Everybody wanted to get that part. And then people were thinking of me for other things and considering me in a way that nobody ever had.
That's awesome.
And I've been acting since I was 9.
Wow.
And so I got...
And now you're 49.
I'm 80. I'm 8. I look unreal.
You look really fucking good.
Thank you so much. Perky ass titties. So then I got... So what happened with that movie, actually, so I played Gilda Radner, but when I got the audition, I had like a small agent... And
you brought a small Asian to the audition?
Yeah, I just think it's cute sometimes to take a tiny Asian, bring them with you to stuff, and then ask them to pop out. A tiny anybody. So they could be white, Asian, but anything. And if they're really small and they pop out, sometimes I think that's a way to have casting and certain people like that remember you. Yeah.
Secret to the biz.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And if they don't like you, throw walnuts at them and run out.
Oh. Yeah. I feel, okay, that's... Okay, don't do that.
Like if you feel like they weren't paying attention or they didn't give a shit about you, fuck you
and throw
walnuts all over the floor because they're annoying.
Oh, you got a lot of walnuts.
Get out. Mm-hmm. But take them with me.
Part of your deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me.
It's in my rider.
I cut you off.
So when I...
It's probably the cleaning crew.
Somebody's here with Glenn.
Hold on, let me look.
Okay, I just want to make sure nobody opens any doors.
Don't eat him.
Did he run away?
Yeah, thank you. Glenn, come here. Glenn. This is so peaceful. This is hilarious.
Great. That's exactly
We've never had a break like this.
Perfect. It's exactly what we wanted to be, I think. It's very bad.
So you got to play Gilda.
So I got to play Gilda, but it was so cool. So they called for this audition. But since the part of the movie... It's not the SNL years, but they were like, look, if you want to show us that you sort of get her essence, you could do a character from SNL, like a Rosanna Dana or an Emily Latella, just to like show us what, and it's for David Wayne, who's like one of my heroes, and it's just crazy. And they were like, if you want to show us a character, and so I, this could have gone either way. This could have gone two ways. I prepared them all the characters.
You did?
Yeah. And I had costume changes and it was a whole thing.
They were going to give you the role.
Well, or they were going to be so embarrassed that they were like, thank you so much. You actually don't need to keep changing your shirt. Like
you're in the middle of changing.
We get it.
But I have these outfits.
I have these different costumes. Can I pronounce them costumes?
I don't have time in my life to not do this. I need this more than anything in the world.
That was actually just the case. Yeah. I had no opportunities. There was nothing coming in. I'd been acting 20-something years at that point and was just like...
You had bounced around and done stuff. It's not like you hadn't done anything.
But I also hadn't done a ton. Like, I was making a living on commercials. It was, and honestly, it was a godsend. I was actually really psyched. I wasn't like sitting around kicking a can. I was like, cool, I'm in that Secret commercial. And I like made a little bit of money and I am earning a living. This is fabulous.
That is good.
But I
the Vagisil one was a bad choice, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, and the herpes one.
Don't do
the
all those.
Imodium.
Next time, don't do them.
That's a, okay. In the future? Yeah. That's fine. Hopefully there'll be a long time since they need. Although you the dry pussy stuff feels like as you age, it will.
You probably do get drier, don't you?
Come at you more. Yeah, I can imagine.
I just saw a commercial for that today that just said, that KY commercial that said, our moisture is all different for all different kinds of girls, and nobody wants to talk about it. But let's talk about it. So they do.
But then you're just going to moisturize your puss on a Tuesday with just KY?
Well, I think if you're ready to, oh, if you're ready to, if you KK.
Yeah, I pronounce that WCC, weird.
If you're ready to fuck.
Fuck-a-cook.
If you're ready to fuck.
You're ready to fuck-a-cook cuties. Anyway.
You know what? Hold on. Before you keep going. The one thing I should probably fill in, we should fill in the audience on what Stupid If You Tell Jester is. Because I think maybe
people
don't know or haven't seen it.
I think you're right.
It was a book. Now an amazing film. It also, there was a movie before this movie.
There was like a documentary on Netflix. Well, it wasn't initially for Netflix, but it was, and it wasn't called that. It was like Wild and Crazy and Drunk. Like it was also three.
Right.
Something like that.
But and it was essentially about Lampoon. It was about the beginnings of the Harvard Lampoon and then what led to the beginning stages of probably the most iconic, memorable...
Controversial, subversive comedy ever.
Yep.
Because now we can do and say anything. This was a time when you couldn't do and say almost anything.
Anything, yeah.
And they were offending, equal opportunity offenders.
Which is what I still want today. I still think today that should be comedy.
Same. 100%.
But I think there's more of us than there are the other side of the fence. I think more people
of comics there are. Humans. But I feel like everyone's like a little.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that's echo chamber rhetoric that we hear because we live in a liberalistic state of Los Angeles in a bubble like New York. And I believe most Americans still have a great sense of humor. They want to talk shit to each other. They want to make fun of each other. And comics like Gilda, like Chevy, these guys and girls. They fucking broke this awkward barrier of not talking about stuff, which is what we need to continue because that's how anything is like made light of and feel
and
normal.
I think it's how we heal.
Yes.
And I think it's also how both sides of the aisle, which used to not even be a term because there wasn't such a chasm. There was like, at least you could have a conversation with a person who was on the other side, but
not anymore.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a crazy time.
I have a friend that literally stopped talking to another friend because he found out that he voted Trump. And what I find so fucking disturbing is like, you can do that. That's fine. That's your life. But like, you're going to fucking not be friends with someone ever again. You don't want to have a conversation about it. I mean, I'm sure friends do things that you disagree with all the time.
I think when it becomes challenging is when you support immigrant families and you support gay rights and you support all these things that you know that this person doesn't support. Mm. And then you look at your friend and you go like, but wait a minute, there's people in cages. And then it becomes hard. I think it becomes hard when these issues are this huge to look past. I mean, I agree with you.
True.
I mean, I think the whole point, and I think Sarah Silverman does a great job where it's like, she's very specific with her views, but she's really trying to have the conversations and love all the people and love the people that she
because Sarah's somebody that loves to fucking talk shit and joke around and push the buttons of other people and doesn't necessarily adhere to the PC thing of what
but
many people would
in such a smart way too.
But that's the whole point of all this shit. So Futile and Stupid Gesture is basically about the beginnings, the impetus, the catalyst of the freedom of speech comedy boom that eventually turned into SNL.
And in an amazing way, I kind of don't want to spoil the movie, but it's the story. I mean, it's this age-old story. So he did the Harvard Lampoon, this guy Doug Kinney, played by Will Forte.
So fucking funny.
Sick. So he did the Harvard Lampoon, and then he did National Lampoon Radio Hour, and in the Radio Hour was Harold Ramis, Bill Murray, Christopher Guest, Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, Gilda Radner. I think I said everybody. Ramis, Guest.
I think that's everyone.
Belushi,
right?
And that was everybody in the Radio Hour. And then I think it was Doug Ebersole. Somebody Ebersole Dick Ebersole.
Dick Ebersole, yeah.
He was running NBC and he offered Doug Kinney National Lampoon Saturday Night. And Doug was like, TV is ridiculous. I'm a filmmaker. And he said no.
Yeah.
And then Lorne snatched every one of those motherfuckers and was like, we make an SNL. Crazy. And then they made SNL. And then Doug... Well, this part's a spoiler of the movie, so then I won't.
Yeah,
say.
don't spoil for people, because I highly recommend watching it. But as like to me, what I'm curious about is, as a woman in comedy, and for back reference, we met because of comedy, and for someone like you, who is so deeply embedded into the world of being a comedic actress and a comedian, what Gilda did and what people like her did, that's really, it was so big for women. So that's such a, to me, it was such a cool thing to have you play, because I knew you, right? If I didn't know you, I'd go, fuck that chick. Who cares about that?
Right.
But it's cool because I know what that must mean to you, both during the filming and both outside of it, right?
What's crazy is I think a lot of younger women, they like have an idea of who she is, but I was raised on her.
Yeah.
Like her greatest hits feature. It's so funny. I remember when I wasn't really working, I would hear an actor talk about something and I'd be like, that's such a fucking lie. They'd be like, oh, I can't believe I get to play her. I wore out that cassette tape till it broke.
Right.
I literally wore out the Gilda Greatest Hits VHS until it broke and we had to throw it out and there was no eBay and I cried.
Yeah.
'Cause eBay, and I was like, how are we ever going to get this? And I vividly remember what the cover looked like, and I don't have it. It's funny that I haven't replaced that for myself. But even if I did, I don't have a VHS player. But the point is, I was obsessed with Gilda.
Yeah.
And we have just similar ways about us. We're like just these Jewy little sprite things that have way too much energy.
Little sprite things.
That are too, have too much energy and are too much for a lot of people. But then other people are like, no, that's the right amount. And we have like similar like S's and our voices are similar. The only difference is that she's from Detroit. So like her voice is in the back of her throat. She's Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
Literally, it's the, our voices are almost... Like when I was little and I felt like I was too much or too raspy or too scrappy or too, it was like, but Gilda's like, but it's Gilda.
Yeah.
And then I got to play Gilda.
You didn't have to do much to change your look. You look exactly like her.
I didn't
her.
Have to do.
You like curled your hair?
I didn't even curl my hair. When I don't have a stupid hat on and my hair is parted in the middle and then I put these little pins in.
Yeah.
That's just what.
That's kind of it.
That's just it.
Because your hair is naturally kind of
wavy.
Yeah,
that was just all I did.
Wow. Isn't that fucking, that's mind blowing to me.
It was wild.
It was weird knowing you for so long and then seeing. It was weird knowing you for so long and then seeing you play her and going, oh, that's so weird, because yeah, of course she looks exactly like her, but I didn't even think about it.
I didn't even really think about it. And then I got the call and I was like, oh, and what's really crazy about getting that audition is that they had seen every other person in the whole city. Is the only reason I even got, they got so to the bottom. I'm not like shitting on myself.
They got so to the bottom.
They got so to the bottom of the barrel. They were like, we'll see her.
What's in the basement?
What's it for
go
real?
Go downstairs and go get what's in the.
What's in Valley Village adjacent? And I was like, my unit. So then I popped over and the other two girls in the waiting room for Gilda were Latina.
Oh shit.
Not a
they
joke.
Were really fishing. Mm-hmm. Holy fuck.
They were
fuck.
Like, well, maybe, you know, like what, and that's fine. Like, God bless, anyone can play any part, but like, it was really,
but
like,
that's pretty specific when you're playing,
when you're playing like one of the,
a real person's
a real
really
person
hard.
Who's when, like a Jew.
Characters are easy, but a real person, that's kind of, that's why I'm always like, why did they get that guy to play that thing? They didn't just get someone that fucking looked like him. But that's always weird. That weirds me the fuck out when they do that.
100%.
But you being a part of that thing for us, for comedy people, I guess, was so cool to me, seeing and knowing people in it. You know, I know John Daly, who played Bill Murray, Rick played Harold Ramis. Who else did I know that was fucking in there? I mean, Joel McHale.
Like, I was going to say, you know Joel. You know Joel, everybody. You know Seth Green. He played Christopher Guest.
I don't know him, but he he did a fucking great job.
Do you know John Gamberling? He played John Belushi.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was
just stacked filled with great comics. And I know I'm rambling on about it and I'll move on. It really did a thing for me because... it's the reason that we get to be the way we are and we're so like unapologetically goofy or mean or rude or fucked up or crazy. It's not always funny. And I think that movie really did a thing for me where it's like, and not everything is fucking funny. Some things are mean or hurtful. You know, there's a couple of moments with Doug where, you know, his first girlfriend or first wife or whatever was like, you're a fucking asshole. Like you're actually, you think this is all so fun.
A joke.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And we don't really get to be honest about that all the time, that we're totally flawed people, comedians and comedic actors.
And I think the times when we talk about how flawed and depressed and anxious and sometimes mentally ill
yeah.
we are as comics. It's we're talking about it because it's too late and we lost somebody.
Right. That's what's
and we're
a bummer.
Like, I just got, you know, it's like, no, we can talk about it. And everyone's like, comics are so sad. I'm like, yeah, we're also so joyful and giving you such joy, but also right. yes.
Yeah, I debunked that so many times. Yeah. Somebody goes, aren't you guys all depressed? And I said, that's insane. You know who else is depressed? A majority
Linda
of the,
in HR.
Yeah, exactly. A majority
because
of America.
She has, yeah, exactly. She has nothing going on. Right. Her husband's fucking the secretary. Right. This is right. her Groundhog Day is going on. I mean, we all have shit.
We just ours is on display.
And also I think it's in such stark contrast to what you think, how you think we feel.
Right.
And that I think is a fascinating thing because with Linda in HR, she's walking around every day shopping at Aeropostale, doing her thing in the Midwest, and that's fine, God bless, but it's not as surprising to find out that that person might be sad. But this really funny, smiley guy who's making 500 people laugh is sad?
Yeah.
How is he sad?
How?
He's making all these people happy.
Oh, he lives the life.
Completely unrelated.
But I think that it just did a good thing for me, education-wise, for people that don't know anything about National Lampoon and the history of Lampoon and Harvard. I think it's a beautiful educational piece to like really learn like where that comes from. And then from a comedic perspective, what it really took to become a comedian in this weird cutthroat world of what would be SNL, the greatest institution of live television comedy of all time. But anyway, go watch that shit. But more importantly, parallel business, you're on probably one of the most successful Netflix shows has had in the past, I don't know, decade? I mean, is that not true? Is that a silly statement?
So exciting.
Don't you think
well,
so?
Well, Netflix hasn't even been around for a decade, but
yeah,
has it?
It's been around for about 20 years. But they were DVDs back then.
No, I mean like when it...
You kids.
I mean we're the same age.
No,
but
make,
I mean
making
when
content.
Was,
making
yeah,
content.
Because like, Orange was the first show. Orange is the New Black was the first...
Probably it's 10 years ago by now.
I think it's only... Because they're on there like 6 or 7 seasons.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's like only...
Well, then,
but
this,
anyway.
Then this is it though. But she's on Glow. Jackie's on Glow and I think objectively it's one of the most successful shows on Netflix and people fucking love that shit.
They just made a comic book of us.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
It's fucking crazy, dude. It's crazy. It's so... Look, I have a little bit of success guilt, but I have mostly joy. But what I was going to say is like, I am highly cognizant and I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself because of this, but that I'm in the time of my life.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
You're feeling
I'm
it.
I'm in it.
But that's amazing.
It. And maybe, and look, maybe I'll do like live, and I hope to live my dreams of like a one woman Gilda style, Bette Midler style musical comedy Broadway show. And then maybe that'll be the time of my life. But like this Glow situation is
fucking incredible.
Yeah. I sometimes like, as a person who, I hate that I always have to preface, but I feel I do. As a person who tried so hard for so long to get anything going, and it feels like exponentially more, I don't know if this is true, but it feels exponentially more satisfying to be part of such an incredible thing.
Right.
When all the things I was scratching for that I didn't get were maybe not even as cool.
Well, of course not. I
so
mean,
you like look back
it.
And you're like, how devastated I was that I didn't get that one pilot for FXX 7 years ago was the last thing I was even close to even being considered for. And I was like, this could change my life. And then didn't even get picked up. And then...
Of course not.
I moved on.
But I hate...
That's a little inside baseball, folks.
I
apologies.
I hate when people say everything happens for a reason. It really irked me. But it's disgusting because it's partially true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Because somebody, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. And you're like, yeah, well, fucking...
Rejection is
I'm worried
protection.
About bills and life, so yeah, suck exactly. ass. Like, I hate hearing that, but I know it is to be true.
It is to be true, but then it's also like, how many years can I walk around and try and convince anyone that I have any skills?
Well,
without anybody
you've lied
going
for
like...
long enough.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
That, without being like... Without having somebody go like, yeah, she actually is all right.
Right.
That's actually, she can do the stuff she says she can do.
But I think you have that because, and you have this guilt, aside the fact from that the Jewish thing, which you'll never get rid of.
No,
you
know,
you can't get rid of that. You know that?
Fingers crossed. I know. It's
they tried. They failed. They cured HIV, but they can't cure being Jewish.
They cured HIV? I thought
it's
they just...
It's gone forever. It's gone. It'll never come
really
back.
I'm really embarrassed that I didn't know that. I feel like they just did
well. They found the second person. The second person documented was cleared of
I just
the virus.
They've been doing the pills that makes it so you.
Yeah,
can't...
they're doing that too. But it just came out in the news that a second person was completely cured of the virus.
Magic Johnson.
No, okay. But he beat it with money. He didn't beat it with pills. He beat it just be having money.
Sure.
He was just rich. But
Scottie Pippen help him?
I think. What'd you say?
Does Scottie Pippen help him?
Scottie Pippen has nothing to do with that. Muggsy Bogues is that's the cure. Oh. If you kiss Muggsy Bogues, because he's a tiny guy. I think the reason that you have that, and I think many people have that in our position, quote unquote, is because you didn't crack when you were super, super young. And by that, I mean, when people blow up
lately.
When they're a kid, like you start, when you're nine, if you blow up at 10, 12, 13, it's hard.
You're Corey Feldman.
It's just so
honestly,
hard.
Honestly, God bless. You're lucky if you're Corey Feldman, because otherwise you're Corey Haim.
Oof.
And that's, I mean, right? And I mean, the options
gone.
Are...
He gone.
He gone. The options
so, because,
are
because look at it like this. What are the... Who are the people that were famous when they were kids that like lasted through? Like Drew Barrymore might be like one of the best success stories.
That was gnarly for 15
right.
years. She was like
so
a drug addict and sick and bad.
She went through all of it. But I mean, most people that blow up young have a really tough time sustaining, making it out of that muck era. I mean, fucking Justin Bieber has gone through all of these different phases.
God.
And I bet you in 20 years... he'll be like a George Clooney figure in the business where people are like, oh, we love that guy. And they don't think about...
Right, or Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, you don't think about
the
shit.
There was like 15 or 20 years where we were all like, Robert Downey Jr. is going to die.
Right. And he was a tremendous train wreck.
Tremendous train
wreck. But it's also because achieved fame at a young age, I think, does something both to the person and both to the people that surround them.
But the flip side of that, and it's interesting because I've been thinking about this lately, because if I got successful, it's a new kind of fun word about when you get successful as a kid. If I got successful when I was little, yeah, that would have been cool for things and okay. But the flip side of that is how when you're like 34 and you've been doing something since you're 9, and I don't mean casually. I don't mean like I was in a school play when I was 9 and I hoped like my mom was flying me to and from LA for auditions and I was having development deals with these monster people and the guy that created Roseanne and these huge things that were like, put your fucking seatbelt on, kid, because this is going to be on 8 o'clock on TGIF and you're the star and this is your development deal and you're 14 and this is going to happen. Mm. We already have a time slot. Mm. Go. And then it doesn't go.
Ugh.
And it's like, all right, I guess back to ninth grade.
Back
like
to being
like
me.
Like literal like gift baskets from studio executives and then you don't get picked up and then those people don't answer the phone from your agent anymore. It's like the learning these things as a kid. When I was 21, I replaced a girl in a pilot. Then I booked the series. And I was like, it was with Daniel Stern and Judd Hirsch. It was on NBC. I was like, ABC. I was like, I'm gonna be a TV star.
Right.
This is unreal. And then I got fired and I got replaced by the girl that I replaced.
Jesus.
And I found out that I got fired because I showed up to work. My parents were in town. It was the Thursday night dress rehearsal and they'd called it off and nobody knew why. I wasn't that they'd fired all sorts of people, but I didn't know this. And when I showed up to my dressing room, the producers wanted to have a meeting with me. So I was going to park my car by my dressing room and walk over to meet the producers. It was like on the CBS Radford lot. And as I pulled my car, this is a fake story. It has to be.
Yeah.
As I pulled my car into my parking space, a man was paint rolling my name off of it.
Shut the fuck. That's impossible.
Age 23.
He was literally
He had a long stick. He was not bending down. He had a long stick.
They wouldn't even get down for it.
No, sir. And he was paint rolling my name off my parking space. And my parents were like, are we in the wrong space? Like, we just thought, we didn't even think anything of it. Then I went to go talk to the producers and they fired me and I freaked out and they were like, you're hostile. Told me I was hostile.
Wow.
And I was like.
And you are. Turns out you are.
It turns out I keyed one of the cars. I put a banana in one of the tailpipes and I took a dump and the guy left his front seat open. That's not on me.
That's what he gets. You don't fire me. You don't fire me.
I wish I remembered his name.
But it was at what, ABC or CBS?
Stein.
Stein is cheap, but funny. I'll take it. Something Stein. Goldman.
Also doesn't really thin out the options. But this was for ABC, but for some reason we shot at CBS Radford. But anyway, like these were the things that I'd gone through so many times. So I recently was thinking like, had a conversation with a friend and he was like, you know, it's kind of cool. And I'm not saying this to be a dick. I'm saying this as a compliment. It's kind of insane you didn't quit. Like that you kept getting these punches to the throat, these curb stomps to the back of the head, that you were like, okay, payroll, my parking space, and like all these amazing things that were, but I kept feeling like I was close enough. Like I was like, that was almost me.
Yeah.
And that was almost me. It wasn't like I was like alone in a canoe being like, anyone, anyone. Help. Like it was like, they felt
that's
like
why you
there
kept
were
going.
Things.
Yes. People that keep going
the
when they don't have anything. That's
well,
a little
that's like
bit
when
hard.
You watch American Idol and the person is just like embarrassingly terrible and but just their parents were like, go, honey, live your dreams. And it's like,
okay,
find a different dream, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you should switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like other things? Do you think you like
stuff
other
you
stuff?
Might like?
Well, see, that's funny because your parents seemed super supportive, right? They were like,
ridiculous.
No. Yeah, they were like to a degree that was like unheard of, right? Like mine, the opposite.
My mom
where...
quit her job as a physical education. My parents are both phys ed gym teachers.
And,
my
and yet you're so out of shape.
I mean, not only am I out of shape, I can't kick, throw, catch to save my life. I can wrestle.
Really?
I can actually wrestle.
Well, because of the show. But prior to the show, could you wrestle?
No.
No, right,
but
yeah.
It's funny, I went into, I want to hear about your parents, but I went into the...
I don't want to talk about it.
Fair enough. I went into GLOW, and on the very first day, the stunt coordinator, now Emmy-winning, stunt coordinator, Shauna, and Chavo Guerrero is like wrestling royalty. On the first day of training season one, I walked in... And, you know, we're comics, we're insecure, we're fucking loony bins. And I walked in on day one and I was like, we were about to start training. And I was like, if anybody feels like this might be scary or you might feel insecure, feel free to look in my direction because I guarantee I'll be worse at this than you. And it turned out that was super not true. But they bring it up to me all the time.
Oh,
as
now
this,
you look like,
an
asshole.
Sort of, but also in this like learning way.
Someone's
of,
like, I've never done this before. And then they just shoot three threes in a row. And like, oh, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows how to do that? I guess I do.
Practicing forever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not like unreal. It just wasn't, I had told myself this, I'd read myself this story for 20 years that like, I'm just not an athlete.
Right.
Like I do other things. I sing, I play music, I write jokes. I do artsy shit, but I don't do the athletic stuff.
Yeah.
And I, when given the opportunity and like not making a joke of something and taking it seriously for a second, it was like, I could do it.
And you're good at
really,
it.
Really? Yeah. It's really
see,
cool.
See, isn't that a little embarrassing? Now that you, show up the other girls that aren't that good, they must kind of talk shit behind your back.
I think maybe, but this is another thing that I feel not insecure, but like, I always think about how other people will look at the way I say things as a working actor, because I judged everything working actors said when I wasn't working. And I was like, oh, really? You guys are actually sisters. You guys really love each other. It's really, you guys are really tight. You guys are all on a WhatsApp thread and no one hates each other. That's not fucking true. But it's true.
It is.
We love each other.
It can be.
It can be. But
sometimes
it's, like,
it's definitely not.
No. And season one, there were like energies where there were like pockets where it was like, oh, you're not great in a group and this is challenging for you. You've been like a solo person.
Mm-hmm.
But then that person is even way more a team player now. I mean, I think even I was probably far more out for myself season one than I am now. Now I just see what this is and this thing we're making and I just feel like genuinely like I won the lottery to be able to be part of it.
Yeah.
And it's because of the Gilda thing.
Well, it's not because of that. That's one of the reasons, but
thank
that's
you.
Not the only reason.
I appreciate that.
So I don't believe in that thing. I think there's a million things that contribute to one thing.
Oh,
you know? Kind of like how someone's like, it's my soulmate. It's like, it's not your soulmate. It's just the person
that
you met.
Because if you were born in Czechoslovakia, that
yeah, you wouldn't have
be,
never
yeah,
met them. So don't fucking, yeah.
English.
So all these things kind of come together. Right. I like to think it's like where there's billions and billions of bubbles of energy. And we are also just a collection of energy cells. And all of these things kind of coagulate and amalgamate to kind of make things work in a certain way sometimes.
And if you got out of your car that morning with your right foot first instead of your left foot first, your entire day could have been different.
100%. So I think like the butterfly effect is so real. So I
so
think,
real.
I think that, that saying it's Gilda, it's not. It probably was a great movement, a needle mover for you. But you did it on, you do it on your own accord. And obviously you're good enough because they didn't fucking fire you from that, bitch.
Yeah,
you ain't firing me from this, bitch.
Birch.
I mean, we've all been fired, by the way, when you talk about that. Like, it's funny because everyone's been fired from stuff or seen people get fired and you go, sucks for that guy. But then you've been that guy.
I remember when I got fired, my agent at the time who worked out of her back office, the most amazing agent, amazing woman. She worked out of like the, a little office in the back of her house in Long Island, and she, I remember her like reading me a list of all the, like, she's like, Lisa Kudrow got fired from her pilot before Friends, and this person got fired from this, and every, and George,
oh, she's
Clooney
doing it to build you
up.
That's
she,
really cool,
build me up, but also just like, this is true.
Yeah,
like I thought it was the end of my career,
right?
I was like, this is my biggest opportunity I've ever gotten. And all I had was this little manager working out of her back house in Long Island. And I was able to like do this and climb up and screen test and get the part. And it was this whole big thing.
That's incredible.
And then I didn't have it anymore.
But look at you now.
But baby, look at me now.
Look at you now.
I like all the art in here. I can't stop staring at it. This is, can I say something? This is gripping.
You like it?
I keep staring at it.
Well, it's supposed to be a little threatening.
Oh.
Supposed to be a little threatening to the guests. Meaning like, what's over there? What am I looking at?
Oh, I don't find it threatening, but I find it hard to not look.
I could kill you.
Yeah.
I could kill you.
Also, like, yeah, of course.
Look at me. I'm going to kill you.
Already, but like you could totally.
I wouldn't kill you.
Oh my God, thank you, Santino.
You know why? Because technology today is so good.
Yeah,
you can't get away with it.
Can I tell you though, too? A lot of people know I'm here.
Yeah,
they don't know the address.
Yeah, that's annoying. Don't give the address away.
I'm not giving the address, but when I was walking up from my car, I texted Santino to find out where it was. I couldn't see the address. I happened to be across the street. He's like, the address is in big letters,
big letters.
Numbers,
can't
right outside.
It. Can't miss it.
It's a black plaque.
Placard.
With black numbers.
Mm-hmm.
How artsy. For your guests to not be able to find. He's like, fucking numbers right on the side of the building. On a black placard in black.
By the way, this building is fucking huge. Like, this building has got to be like 50,000 square feet, and that thing is probably like one foot by one foot.
I was going to say, that's 1 inch by 1 inch.
It's 1 by 1. It's so small.
It's a postage stamp.
I don't know why they do stuff like that. But that's what art districts are. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's hip. It's cool to be unknown.
Because I was like, it must be this enormous, cool, hip-looking building, but I see no address. No. I don't even see a sign where an address could be.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be. Actually, there was a big sign for an address, and they ripped it down.
Oh, they were, fuck you.
They were like, fuck that. People don't need to know.
Too easy to find.
Figure it out. How about figure it the fuck out?
We don't want to put a sign. There's a place on, I might have a sign now, but there's a place on Virgil called Squirrel.
Oh, yeah, Squirrel, right. It's a breakfast place.
And it doesn't have a sign.
Nope.
But if you are inside and you see a menu, do you know how they spell Squirrel?
S-Q-R-L.
That's right.
S-Q-R-L. That's right, yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. It's so annoying.
But so God forbid you
LA
ever be able
that.
To find this place.
Can't.
Like, can't Google.
Can't.
Because I'm like, S-Q-I-R-R. And by the way, a squirrel in and of itself, challenging word to spell because it's got two R's, two L's. Or one R, two L's.
No, it's one R,
one
two,
R two L's.
No. Squirrel. Squirrel. This is embarrassing.
That's what I'm saying. But for my whole life, it's been that weird word where you're like, one R, two L's, two R's, one L. What is... But then they're like, oh, okay, no vowels.
S-Q-R-L.
Then you can't find it. It's the most hipster bullshit.
LA loves that stuff. And there's a place right around the corner from here. I don't want to blow it up. There is no sign. There are two security guards that stand out front. It's an invite-only boutique, high-end bullshit. You should drive by.
Is it a weed shop?
No. It's close.
Two security guards?
Two men in suits every day. Okay? And it's a high-end boutique clothing store, which I'll tell you all about it off air. And it's... every fucking time I drive by these guys, they always have this look of like, you don't belong here type of shit. Bobby Lee is coming into the podcast, you know, this was a month ago. He parks his car over there and he walks up and he goes, you know, Bobby's so inquisitive. He's a child. He's a literal child.
He's a 50-year-old child. Kindergartner, sure.
So he walks up, you know.
Built like one too.
He's got his box of crayons.
Yeah, 100%.
He walks up to the guy and he goes, what is this? And the guy's like, it's a private. And he's like, what is it? And he was like, sir, you have to keep moving, please. And because you can see inside the fucking thing, which is so...
Which also, by the way, I don't have to keep moving.
No, I don't.
There's nothing that says I have to keep moving.
And it was so rude.
And you know, when you tell me to keep moving, I stop.
What
it's
am I going
to
do?
The way
tell
I
me
am.
To keep moving. What no, am I going to do? I'm going to stand right fucking here and stare at you.
Well, tell me to relax.
No, don't
very,
tell me to fucking relax.
Very similar.
So looking inside, he can see the clothing and he says to me, you know, you can tell it looks like a store. And he's like, well, what is it? Why? Like, what's the deal? And the guy was like, please keep going, sir. This is an invite only location. And Bobby,
I'm not being cute. I'm getting hot.
Bobby did a good job. Bobby did a good job of holding, because Bobby loses it a lot. Bobby could fucking lose it.
But it's so
and he
funny.
Said he was an inch away from being
it's
like
so fun when he does.
Because the guy goes private invite only type of thing. And Bobby said to me, he goes, you know how bad I wanted to be like, I'll buy your whole fucking store and be that asshole guy. He's like, just because Bobby doesn't look like a guy who's
has any money.
Looks like that guy that goes there probably. You know what I mean?
He's in like a yellow crop hoodie and shorts.
Yeah, fuck it. Flip flop, he's smoking four Juuls at once. You know what I mean? He has three hoodies on. But it's like he could buy everything in that fucking 100%. Store. But he said, I wanted so bad to be that guy, but inherently comics are so ashamed.
And it's fucking self-deprecating.
So much
hate
that
ourselves.
To do that.
Yep.
would kill us. Mm-hmm. It would murder the inside of you. That you're like, I want to say it so bad, but I won't, just because I know it'll hurt my feelings more to hear myself say that.
100%.
Than it will to hurt him. That's why
I have trouble talking about, like, I think I call it success guilt.
You should, though. We talked about it. You should have success guilt, because I think everyone should feel a little ashamed of the stuff that they have and the success that this town brings, but don't not enjoy it. Like, I don't like the fact that, like, you know, it was always a shameful thing to have a nice car or to have nice things
right.
in our world, because we come from the grubby world of, like, working from the bottom. And so it's like, I'm sorry, but, like, I didn't land a movie role at 15 and then get rich overnight. Like, I worked hard to get things. So when I have a nice thing, I know I'll forever hide it and feel guilty about it. But to myself, I go,
I deserve it.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you, and I deserve it. Like, I'm trying to, honestly, I'll go there right now. I'm trying to stand in my power. I can't even say it without feeling like a fucking piece of shit. But I'm trying to so much more, because this self-deprecating value bullshit, it's so exhausting.
It gets old. It gets really fucking old.
I'm like, isn't there something just fucking cool about, like, I find it so attractive in another person when I'm like, they're not braggy or boasty or full of shit, but, like, their just shoulders are back a little.
Yes, their air is different.
And it's just like, oh, shit. You, like, run some stuff.
Yes. It's nice.
I don't know that they feel that way inside, but when I look at a person that way, I'm like, oh, that must be so nice.
Yeah.
Over here, like, yeah, it's a Lexus, but I bought a certified pre-owned, and I got it. I got the 2011 and 2013.
Right, so you can't just cut it off at what it is.
When someone's like,
it's got to be like this diatribe of like, but I got it from my uncle who bought it from a guy, and you know it was used. You know it also. It's got a dent in the front of it. It's like, it's got to be this verbal diarrhea 100%. Explanation for all your success.
And then I was like, and I always have to say, like, you know, I went a really long time without working, and, you know, I was acting since, even with you, you were talking about,
yeah, you said it was from you were nine.
And I was like, I started when I was nine. It's like, well, that wasn't the fucking question, but I wanted everybody to know that, like, yo, I'm out here.
Yeah, you're working. W-E-R-K-N.
Yeah, for correct. Working. Correct. Squirrel.
Squirrel working.
Squirrel working. But we hate vowels here at Whiskey Ginger.
Well, they can't do it. Yeah, we can't do that here. That's not part of our agenda. Also, by the way, side note, this happened to me. That squirrel reminded me. I was going to meet people at a thing downtown. And downtown LA, when I first moved here, was fucking
never.
Way.
I ran into you downtown.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? It used to be a place where...
And even in that time, I had a couple friends live down there. And I was like, you're going to get killed.
Sketch.
You're going to die.
It used to be so sketch.
Brought to you by Skechers.
Brought to you by Skechers. But and now it's so fucking beautiful and nice. And it's moving at such a pace where I'm like, wow, this is not... It's getting so nice.
It's getting so nice. But if you go out of that, sure. You're still like, oh,
that's anywhere at some degree. But downtown now, you know, all these cool places, and the cooler they are, the more you don't fucking belong there.
Right, the more there's two guys in suits at the door asking you what you're doing in your flip-flops.
You can't afford it. Like, invite only. I can fucking afford it.
Yeah.
I was going to meet people, and no shit like this experience, but way worse. There was no door. There was no sign. No. There was no shit. And I find out much later when I run into a friend, you have to go... through the back side the other way. I mean, it's like a bad SNL sketch.
You're like already home when you found out how to get in.
Yeah, I'm back at home. I'm asleep, and I'm like, oh, that's what it was. I wake up.
Alley, sure.
But it's like a shitty SNL sketch about LA, which is so obviously true that it's like,
I remember years ago I went to a place. And
they try so hard.
So hard. Years ago I went to a place, and the only indicator was like I'm angry. I'm getting hot. A very dim red light bulb.
Oh, fuck off.
Outside.
It's so annoying.
And I was looking, and I remember it was similar to this address, where I was like looking, and it was so dim that it wasn't like across the street. I could be like, oh, the red light bulb. I knew there wasn't going to be an obvious entrance. It was so dim, I was like under it, and I was like,
that's it.
That's what they're calling the red light bulb. Like, I was so hot and so angry. Bye, Glenn.
Bye, Glenn. It's a little tiny sticker on the wall. Yeah. It's one little tiny sticker.
It was a sticker, actually. It wasn't a light bulb. It was a sticker of a sticker. Light bulb.
Oh, yeah. That's so... It's it was infuriating. Like, that's just get the gun. Mm-hmm. I got taken by my manager to like this unbelievable sushi chef here who like has three tables. And, you know, the only managers and agents know that bullshit where they're like, we can get into this place. When I say I went to the address and I'm not going to say where... When I say I went outside and was actually scared, I'm not kidding. In all my years of being in LA, I was like, this is a danger. This is a danger.
Yeah, I'm not safe. I'm not
safe. This is sketchy. And of course, then you walk in and you're like, who's, what is, am I, this is like a door to Narnia. It was a completely different experience. Gorgeous. With like the richest Japanese businessmen of all time. Like you can see
was
that
it a
they're
sushi
so
place?
Wealthy. Yeah.
Funny, I went to a sushi place recently. It was in a okay neighborhood, but same thing, you wouldn't be able to find it.
Never
it was like in a shitty strip mall, and then you have to go through the kitchen of another restaurant, but it's like fully invite only. There's
love
like
that.
Four reservations a night. That whole thing.
See, this is the thing. And I feel a little guilty about going to those places sometimes. But at the same time, I go, fuck it, man. That's awesome. I get the access to do that once in a while.
Right.
But I'm also the guy
right.
that looks out at that and goes, yeah,
but
I'm not
that I feel
guy.
Like is what being a comic is. You're like, yeah, this is kind of dope. Also, I'm going to judge the shit out of it and observe yeah. it and write 20 minutes
I'm
on
gonna
it.
I'm going to talk shit about yeah, everybody yeah, yeah. in
but
here.
Some of the best fish I ever had.
Ever.
Some of the
ever.
I don't want to interrupt us. I wonder if the person who is in the other room
let's check
has left.
Go look. The door go see.
Open.
Go see for Glenn. I just want to make sure that this will be our commercial break hour. We'll just like keep cutting to stuff.
Make sure that the door's not open. That's okay. Just make sure the dog doesn't follow you. Thank you. Good night.
Night. Wouldn't that be so funny? Here's what would be the funniest thing. For the fans that are listening or watching, Jackie keeps looking at to see if Glenn's going to follow the cleaning lady out. What if the cleaning lady really hated dogs and she came in and she was like, no, 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 I like it. And then she's just kicking him when we don't see. Is he okay? No, he's okay. He's
oh,
okay.
Cute dog.
Cute dog.
Oh,
is this your dog?
Sweetie.
Is this your
he's
dog?
So sweetie.
Sweet dog.
Both of us doing this terrible accent.
Yeah, yeah. But well, no, it's nondescript. You don't know what that is.
Not only was it nondescript, it was almost identical to how that woman said
mm-hmm. Well, so we were just yeah. Repeating what we heard. Do you?
Performance artist.
Does it bother you when people don't know how to feel about your dog? Because it bothers me when somebody does. When somebody goes like, my dog is fucking harmless. When she like goes up to somebody and they go, huh? And I'm like, really?
Well,
this is the dog.
Like, sometimes old women, I feel, are like skittish around dogs
because they're afraid.
I have no idea, but like kids love him. Like I don't think
big
but
dogs
I,
make
but
sense.
But I do know what you mean when people are like, ugh.
Like,
or when
really?
We're walking and I don't pull his leash tight because he's 14 pounds.
Yeah.
Hi, Bonnie.
Like, what could he really do?
Come on, Beanie.
Like, imagine, he couldn't even get up on the fucking chair right there.
No, because he's a dumb idiot.
But imagine if he bit you.
Hello, sir.
It wouldn't even hurt.
Yeah, but do you know something? His heart is the size of a Cadillac Escalade.
That's how you talk to your dog. Everybody
yes.
has dog voice.
And one other thing that people at home should know, these ears are made of 100% silk.
Silk?
Yeah. Silk from silk arms.
You know what my dog voice is?
And?
Like this.
Get over. No, you
don't.
You
I do for it sometimes. No, sometimes.
But you do go like, she, you fucking bitch.
I go, hey, come here, you son of a bitch. Yeah. Yeah, I grip my teeth when I talk
me
to her.
Me too. I love
yeah,
him so
you have
much.
To.
It's my third costume change. I
don't
feel fine
like,
about it.
This is?
Yeah, because I'm so hot and I took off, I had a leather, then a sweater, now a tee.
What is it that's making you so hot? Is it the thing on your hat that says anxiety? Do you think that's what it is?
What are you talking about?
Just putting it out there.
No, I just feel warm. I feel great, but I feel warm. Also, like, this is one half a shot of nothing, but I think it's making me a little warm.
What?
Glenn's in my lap. I'm having a great time.
He's falling asleep. Glenn is falling asleep yet again. You want to have some drink? You want to drink a drink of some whiskey? Do you want some bourbon?
You're a whiskey man? Hello. Hi. I'm glad. And sometimes I love whiskey.
That does kind of sound
out?
Like what he looks like. Yeah. No, we're going to leave that in.
I'm a CPA. Now, my number one job, crunching numbers. Oh, because I'm pretty tired. Too much taxes. It's tax season.
My dog just got fired from her day job.
Which was?
We are actually pissed off. I'm not going to lie. I fucking got her
right?
job. I had reached out to an executive at Sony, and she was an executive assistant.
Okay.
And she got fired.
She got let go? I'm sorry.
Well,
that
here
sucks.
She is. It is public knowledge
okay.
that you're not supposed to be on Facebook on the work computers. Here's my dog.
Oh,
is she's on fucking Facebook.
Right.
She's supposed to be organizing a general that they're going to have that afternoon. She's
on,
Facebook talking shit about her boss.
Oh, I was going to say if she that sucks.
So she got fired.
And that was what's his name? Stein?
It was Bergenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Bergenstein. Ari Bergenstein's brother.
Right, of course.
Daniel Bergenstein's son.
Son.
He runs the studio. It's like you have to at some point.
You can't be on Facebook. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
so
yeah.
She was on Facebook. So now, you know, every day I'm in the room. I walk into her room. She's on her fucking phone. And I'm like, are you going to get a job?
Right.
Are you going to get a fucking job? Yeah, are you going to look for a job?
But at this point, it feels like she's addicted to social media.
You know what she does? She knows, sniffs at me, and then just gets right under
sometimes
the bed.
Sometimes when he does that, I go, God bless you, and I get the fuck out. Yeah.
She does that.
Yeah.
My dog does the nose thing.
He does. And I always go, God bless you, Glenn.
Bless you, Glenn. Sleepy Glenn.
So
hey, Hey, so I want to talk to you for another hour and a half, but your time is valuable to me.
Good.
Tell me when Glow would be going again.
So exciting. So we wrapped season 3 a few weeks ago.
Right.
And then
when does it air, I guess is what I meant.
We actually don't know. So normally they're funny with, you know, release dates and pickups and
Netflix is kind of weird about all that
and
shit.
And numbers, like they sort of don't tell us a lot.
Yeah.
So we don't know when it's coming out. We had the last two seasons were like end of June.
Mm-hmm.
But this season, it might be later because Stranger Things looks like it's coming out in early July.
Season 3.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know they were doing another one.
I think season 3
this
of Stranger...
Is 3.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So season 3 of Stranger Things is coming out,
I think. Those kids are like 30 now.
Yeah, they're 30. It's crazy. 11. Doesn't track. She is now a grown-up.
She's so pretty for a young girl, and it's like gross to say that because I know that's like not right.
No, but
I'm like,
what's fucked up is like I as a woman can say it, and you as a man can't. But like, yeah, she's like a beautiful young.
She's a pretty young girl, and it's gross because I'm like, wait, she shouldn't look like that. Yeah. She should have braces and look stupid.
She's
and
like
bad hair.
Maybe 13 now.
Oh my god, it's really annoying to watch.
There was like some real public thing about her having a boyfriend, and I was like, we shouldn't know about
that's
any of this.
Repulsive.
Hopefully, they're just holding hands. This is like all way.
No, but
too
that's
much.
Repulsive. That shouldn't even be the rhetoric. Shouldn't even be boyfriend. It should be like, first of all, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be anything. It should be just she has friends and she's in school and she's living her life.
100%.
That's that.
And they're you like, she and da-da-da broke up. And it's like this big, he's
that's
like this big
gross.
Pop star.
See, that's why I'm saying.
This is good. This didn't happen to me when
I'm
I was 10.
I'm telling you because I think it fucks with people.
Well, looking back, speaking of all things happen for a reason, looking back, I have truly nothing but, I mean, there was a lot of gnarly ups and downs, but those really young ones, I think it's... I think it's a godsend.
Relationship-wise, you're saying with you? Like,
like when I was a kid and I had a boyfriend and he was 20, I was 11. I think it's really good that the career-wise that stuff didn't...
Yeah, because but here's what I mean. They dig into you.
Maybe I would have been okay. I don't know. Who knows?
No, you wouldn't have. I just don't think so.
With my anxiety.
Because
yeah.
I think, you being your personality would have not boded well in that
right.
situation. In fact, I think most people don't, but you would be way more susceptible. And you being the...
Uh-huh.
I'm the same way. I know it would have been really detrimental for me to have any sort of success.
And if people think
young,
I'm like, you know, feisty and a lot at this age, I mean, I was off the rails.
When
as
I
a
met
kid.
You, you were out of your, you were out
I
of your
was
mind.
Off
yeah,
the rails.
You've landed the plane a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
but it still does bounce off the water a couple of times to get back in the air, and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ! We ran into each other again at sushi, and
so
that
accurate.
Was like the most anxiety fueled sushi I've ever had in my life because we had about an hour and a half
we
conversation
did.
In 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
We packed everything in.
But that was also, I feel like that was before all this stuff
it was
going
it was,
on.
But you were doing
and
something.
And I was
you
like
were
on an audition or
yes.
something.
Yeah.
And it was just like still just, I think also at that point, like I think I was 34, 35 and just like being in the rat race and it makes you crazy. When you're in the race for so long and
it's
so
gross.
Close so many times, it makes you a little nuts. Like
yeah.
it's really challenging. I've reconciled most of these emotions. It's really challenging to be happy for other people.
Yeah.
It was just,
did you,
just
have, like, did you ever you, be honest? Have you ever been really unhappy for
yeah,
somebody,
for
but
sure.
then have come around now and been like, you know what? I'm actually happy.
Oh
for them
my
again.
God. I don't have, I genuinely, I'm so, this is one of the things I'm most grateful for about being in the place I'm in now career-wise. I'm happy for everybody.
Everybody.
Great. I appreciate that. no, but like it's very, like my friends.
Yeah.
But like when a random person
yeah, well, you don't, who
still like is taking over or whatever, we'll talk about that off the air. But like, of course, certain things are hairs across my ass. But often, like I can't think of a time in the last many years where like a friend of mine got anything and I wasn't just fucking overjoyed for
sure.
them. But it used to be like, well, here I am banging my head against the wall. I paid $25,000 of money I don't have. I'm going to be in debt to make this album when I was making music. And then a friend of mine made her album for no money in her closet.
And that was Jewel.
And got, she lived in her van. She lived in her goddamn van. Made her album in her closet and got like all the songs placed on like Grey's Anatomy and this show and
Fuck.
That show. And I was so bitter.
Yeah. You would be.
Because I was like, I have nothing to show for any of this.
This town is very everything or not. It's all or nothing.
And I just was like, and this was my really close friend who, by the way, was wonderful and talented and also broke and also had dreams. Like,
right.
I've chill. Like, that's, I look back on that time and I'm like, I'm grossed out by that
sure.
person.
That happens most of the time. You act like that the most when you are at that low position, right? Because when people get success, they usually go, I'm really happy for everybody. But it's because you're, you yourself are gaining.
I feel satiated, yes, and I feel good, exactly. and I feel seen and valued and validated in right. a way that I was scraping for so many years. And I've used this term quite a few times since I've sat here, but like too much or, you know, oh, she sucked all the air out of the room. And then when I went into Glow and did the exact same thing, they were like, just right. So it's like, that was...
that psychopath was right, perfect.
100%.
Get her back in here.
They
She's
like,
nuts.
That fucking bat is what we're calling for.
But isn't that the beauty of what this business is? And not to be too meta for some of the people that are probably like, oh, these fucking idiot actor bullshit. But I think there's some of the beauty of what happens is your thing does eventually kind of fit into a thing. Mm-hmm. It's just difficult sometimes. That's all. Like, it's really
that's
hard.
That's so funny. It's such a... comically profound way to put it because it sounds shallow, which is like yes. your thing finally fits into a thing, and it's really true.
It does.
It's like when you find your person, you're like, oh, my crazy fits your crazy. It's such like a fucking Facebook quote,
works.
But it just does. It is true.
Yeah, it does.
And for all the years and things I'm trying to change and be, maybe I can, if I talk in a higher register, then I won't be so fucking gruff all the time and turning into Lewis Black in my 30s. But like these things, and then you just go like, oh, cool. The times where it really works and fits and it's the most exciting for yourself and the people around you who are looking for that, it's magical.
Yeah, it is. Because they are. They definitely are looking for it. Also, I just imagined you as Lewis Black for the past like 14 seconds of you going, you don't fucking know me! Just the finger wagging around.
I mean...
You're very profound like that. You have that kind of that similar kind of energy.
Just anger, Jewy, raspy.
Anger, Jew, raspy. Anger Jew Raspy.
Yeah, have you ever seen Jurassic
also
Park?
Also tiny. Jurassic Park? Mm-hmm. Jew Raspy Park? Mm-hmm. We've got to get out of here. It's just everyone's in a jungle. So Netflix hopefully will release that in June. June or July.
Actually, yeah, we think probably July or August now because of Stranger Things, but we don't know.
Wow.
They haven't told us about a season 4 pickup. They haven't told us when we're airing.
But they don't do that, right? That's not their thing.
Yeah,
they usually just don't
really,
say anything.
Like, we don't know. Yeah. I mean, we think people are watching the show. People seem to like it. They're making a comic book out of it. And they're making dolls and they're...
Yeah, you're an action figure, huh?
I'm not an action figure. Just the two lead girls
You
are.
Shall be at
Maren
one point.
Maren isn't even an action figure. He should be, but...
Really?
I think it's just the two girls. Like they made like those Funko things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but we're a comic book, and
that's cool.
We're on T-shirts. It's like wow. It's like a crazy.
Do you get
thing.
On with Mark Maron?
I do.
Because he's the only other stand-up comedian on the show, right? Is anybody else do stand-up? Or
no, just me and Maren.
Right, that's
but
it.
But then there's like another live performer. Like there are these girls, Kimmy Gatewood and Rebecca Johnson. They're improvisers. They're in like a comedy trio called the Apple Sisters.
Oh, cool.
And then Kate Nash, who's like a British pop star.
Yes.
She's on the show. So
singer Kate Nash.
Yes, singer Kate Nash.
She has a great song that I loved, and now the name is escaping me. It's
from that foundation. Foundation,
holding on to the show that I can't. I love that fucking
she's
song.
She's delicious.
She goes, yeah, I'd rather be with your friends, mate. They are much fitter. That's a great fucking
That's a
song.
Great song.
Yeah, she's good.
And she's still making incredible music, and she's indie now, and she's, talk about, she's like amazing.
She's great. But as far as like the stand-ups goes, you guys are, that's it.
Maren and I get along great. You know, he's so himself that when he's himself, you can't ever take it personally, but sometimes you want to. Like in the more, like I remember season one, I was like, morning, Mark, because you know he's not feeling it at that hour. Morning,
when
Mark.
Is he? What hour is he feeling?
You're not wrong, sir. You're not wrong. But, you know, especially in the morning, you're like, oh, God, this isn't going to go well. It doesn't go well at 5 p.m. It's not going to go
I've never
well
seen him before
7, 10
p.m.
15,
yeah,
correct.
Fuck that.
So I'm like, morning. Or I said something like, what did you do this week? I was just being silly with him. And he's like, eh, it's a lot. And I went, you know, in the time it took you to say it's a lot, you could have just said good morning.
Oh, and?
But nothing. But he's like, all right, Tone. He's always making fun of me for being super Jewish. We got in an argument at the Arclight because we were doing a Q&A, a SAG Q&A. And we were all in the elevator. It was an elevator for six. And there was, I think, 15 of us in it.
Oof.
And we were packed in. And it was supposed to go up. And it was going down. And I was like, I don't like it. So when it went down, I got out.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
I would have gotten right the fuck out.
And I was like, I'm going to get out. And he was like, everybody already knows you're Jewish. You could just stay in the elevator. You don't have to make a Jewish scene in the middle of the Arclight, whatever. So then I got out. And then when I went downstairs, I was like, okay, The guy wasn't feeling it. And he was like, you're being real sensitive today. And I just, I think what it is like, he wanted to get out.
Of course.
He wanted to get out. And then I got out. And then he was like, all right, Judy. It's like, but we, I think we're a lot more similar than either of us.
Oh my God.
Think we are.
Yeah.
I think he's like surface more curmudgeon than I am, but we're the same.
You're the same. You're just, you're the curmudgeon-y, the curmudgeon-y is
fucking,
yes, anxiety fueled. Mm-hmm. Your energy is just way higher.
Mm-hmm.
His comes out in a different format.
100%. Yeah,
his comes out with his like, cats.
And his comes out 100%. His comes out in like a can't be bothered, very low yeah. energy, nothing but like everything bothers me, but I'm quiet about it. And everything bothers me, but I'm frenetic about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Everything bothers me and I have to talk about it. And if I and don't, I feel like I've let myself down.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I might have to tell you how much this makes me mad. I have to.
I like him so much. And he
no, he's
me,
fucking great.
Yeah, and he makes me, like, I opened for him at Dynasty a month ago, and it was glorious, and his crowd couldn't have been kinder, and he couldn't have been kinder. And, like, I just think it's really, I think the little bullshit talking that we do for me.
It's love.
I hope he feels that way, too.
Yeah.
But it feels like love. It doesn't feel like I'm talking out of school about it here. It's like, I'm sort of saying it as a badge of honor.
No,
like,
of course. Well, listen,
we talk shit to each other, and it's
cute. I think that's the way he is. Listen, I've from the Comedy Store and seeing Mark. This is a story that I don't know if he wants me to tell or not. I don't give a fuck at all. But it was just really, it was the sweetest moment I've ever seen from him, because we say hello and we you know it's such a community at the store that mm-hmm. whatever. But when I was doing the Showtime show, I'm Dying Up Here, that got fucking canceled. Rock on. We were going to be. It was like put in a nomination.
I can't believe we didn't talk more about that.
No, I don't want to talk about that fucking thing. It's gone. It's about it being canceled.
No, I liked it so much.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
But what happened was is they were putting on our name in a hat to be considered to be Emmy nominated, and they were fishing it around to people in the that are, you know, a part of the Academy voting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Maron came up to me in the hallway of the store, and he kind of like grabbed me by the arm a little bit, and he was like, "Hey, I just want to let you know I voted for you." And I was like, "What?" I didn't even know that I was in this thing.
Oh, in this pool to even become a nominee.
I didn't know.
That's how it happens.
It's yeah.
Like Emmy voters vote for who they think should be the nominees and
yes.
then vote.
Which, you know, it's all a crack system. It's all such a fucking right. scam anyway. The whole thing is like, ugh. But anyway. But when he told me that, I had no idea what he was talking mm-hmm. about. And he explained it a little bit. He was like, yeah, I voted you for the thing, for the show, because you're great on the show. And for Mark to say that in a very condensed format, It's like me saying how much I enjoy yeah. you for about
like
an hour.
I was just going to say, it's like you going on complimenting someone for 20 straight minutes.
Exactly.
Him acknowledging your presence is like, yeah, you got
to. Well, he
yeah.
said it was just very nice. And it's and Mark is a peer. I mean, he may be older, but like, you know, Comedy Store does a thing where I don't give a fuck what level you're at. You're a fucking peer when you're there, because mm-hmm. we're all respected on this level. It's like, dude, we work the same stage. And the comedy thing is like, you give respect no matter who, what level they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, Sebastian Maniscalco is one of the richest comedians in the fucking world. He does the same 15 minutes that you do right mm-hmm. after him, and he respects you the same because it's that thing. Mm-hmm. And when Mark did that, it really
didn't
mean
he was
a lot.
One of the richest.
Sebastian?
Yeah.
He's one of the highest earners. Yeah, he's one of the highest earners. Yeah, he's incredible.
I have no idea. I know he's incredible.
Probably one
no
of the best idea. Live acts in comedy.
Sickening.
Yeah, period. He'll go down as one of the best. But Mark doing that was. So it meant a lot. Anyway, it just showed me who Mark really, really, really is. Even though Mark does the other thing, oh, he's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart. It just, I think he just also has to still be who he really is, which is curmudgeon-y and mm-hmm. hey, get out of the elevator, you Jew. We know it, you Jew. That mm-hmm. has to exist. But the other thing is so real. But that's probably why I really like him, because you see who he really is. Like yeah. you get to see who he really is. You know. And also. Quite talented, turns out. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny of like, here's
he's
a guy
who, so good, Uncle.
He is very good, and he's a consummate comedian. He'll always be a comic, but you know, this is the first time, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but this is the first time I've ever seen him in something extended character. He's probably done a bunch of small mm-hmm. stuff, but you know, I'm not being
rude.
I think
he would even agree.
Yeah, this yeah. is the first time I've ever seen him like do something big and lead heavy, and you know, anyway, and It's cool to see, because I think it's a good group of people, and there's no one that's bad except for one person. I'm kidding. It's you. Like, you're the worst on the show. No, you're great.
Anyway, this has been great.
This has been
great. Thanks so much for having me.
She goes cries in her car.
Are there any cheeses? I should probably head out.
Hey.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. Never called you Andrew in my goddamn life.
Never. Sorry, no one does. No one. Santino's always been it. I
barely touched your fucking whiskey. Now I'm not asking you to shoot it right now, but
well, no, I've been sip-sapping.
All right, sip little sipolinas.
Well, because I just, you know, I like the conversation so much.
You steal my beating thoughts.
Are you flattered? Mm-hmm. Are you flattered?
Fatter. I'm fatter.
Fatter. I'm Remember fatter. That? Yeah. Fatter. I'm flattered. I'm fatter. So hopefully it'll come out in the summer, the late summer, and we'll get to see you. I do thank you generously for coming and doing the podcast. This is super fun. Do you want to plug anything else? Do you want to say anything else? Do you want to say hey to your grandma if she maybe watches? Do you want to? Do you have one that's alive?
Nope. But I wasn't gonna until you said that.
Do they have YouTube in heaven?
Well, you have dead tube. You gotta believe in heaven first.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. What do you believe in?
I don't know. I have trouble wrapping my brain around.
Mm-hmm. Reincarnation? Will you come back as...
That I have an easier time wrapping my brain around than a heaven, because I feel like I don't know what this is and how it got here and if there's a spirit and if there's energy, and if energy doesn't die, where does it go? So metaphysically but also scientifically, I don't understand how where the energy goes.
Yeah, into things. It goes into things. Into this, into that, into that. It goes into things. Because they need it to build new things. So you're in, you'll be in stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else is amulets, pretty beautiful jewelry?
You'll be a jewelry.
Oh, cool. Love being jewelry.
You know what I'm going to be?
Who?
Shoelaces. Whoa. Yeah, I want to go everywhere.
Work boots, hiking boots, different boots.
Work boots, different boots. I want to be in so many different kinds of boots. I love boots. I want to be a boot guy. I'm a boot guy. That'd be cool if you could pick where your energy ends up.
Reincarnated and you're
fully, I'm a boot.
Yeah, you're.
I'm a gay boot. Why did I become a gay boot? Yeah, I'm gay laces. Gay laces
in a boot.
Ooh, tie me up. Not so tight. Ooh, is that so? Why so that tight today? This is a good bit. Yeah. This is a good bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love you. I thank you.
My pleasure.
If you don't have anything else to plug, I will plug me.
Oh yeah.
Look at how sad I just got right now.
I have one thing.
Oh, plug it then.
Follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Jackie Tone.
At Jackie Tone. We'll put it in there.
J-A-C-K-I-E-T-O-H-N.
T-O-H-N.
That's right, Jackie Tone.
You know Cheeto Santino on all the platforms. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all that stuff. And I'm not really... In June, I'm going to be in San Diego at the La Jolla Comedy Store. But for now, I'm kind of just bouncing around doing things and going on tour with Rogan. I'm doing arenas for the first time. Isn't that crazy? I'm going to do an arena with Joe Rogan. It's wild. Yeah. 13,000 people.
How many people?
It's like 12,000, I think.
I'm
yeah. Throw yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also
yeah.
Be gorgeous.
It'll be incredible.
Just like when you go up at the store.
Yep. Same thing. Same thing when the store has 400 people. 12,000. Same thing.
Kind of is. But what's the most you've played to? Well, you probably played
thousands. A couple thousand, but that's nothing. Like, I don't think I've ever cracked. I don't think I've ever cracked.
Monster number of fucking people.
Look, we just zoom in on me having a panic attack right now thinking about it.
Shit comes through the bottom of the chair.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So we'll see what happens, but thank you.
I can't wait. Congrats.
Thank you.
It's fabulous.
Air kiss me. Thank you.
Welcome.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like that, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.